My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rex.
Yeah. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We a number one spot, fresh from sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We a number one spot.
What's good, baby? What's good? What's good? What's good? Hey.
It was good. Once again, you know, tales from behind the curtain here, D-Lo and KC. It was a panic moment because I'm you know, maneuvering the screens around here, and the screen that I'm looking at right now is right next to the control screen, and I moved that screen a little bit, and it must have turned the power off. I said,
Yeah. I've been there, rookie. Don't worry about it. You'll live through it. I've done that before. We welcome you in here to the Friday, October 11th edition of D'Lo and KC. I'm Damian Barling.
Oh, I thought you was going to go, acknowledge me.
I thought I was ready for it.
Yeah. Well,
no, that's yours.
You're Damian Barling.
Yep.
I thought you were going to say, acknowledge me.
Acknowledge me.
Jesus Christ, man. We're so low budget over here.
Acknowledge me.
And we are, I'm going to offer you a can of autographed pimp juice.
But, oh my gosh, pimp juice in the building.
Jeez. Go ahead, man. That's for you.
St. Louis is back, too. St. Louis is back. They had a little reunion the other day, whatever the case may be. But we're not in St. Louis. We are from...
from the worst slums of Sacramento.
The worst. And we in here, man. We are so happy that you are here with us. There's lots to talk about. The San Francisco 49ers played last night, got a dub, because if they did, I just would have called in sick.
Well, we wouldn't have had no show because I would have called in sick too.
Well, it would have been Jesse Tappy and friends, because Kyle Madsen is going to join us coming up in a few minutes. Will Z will join us later on today. Eddie Gonzalez here for his weekly visit. And James Hamm will, of course, close out the show as the Sacramento Kings take on the Golden State Warriors for the second time in 3 days, this time at the dental office in San Francisco. So we'll talk to Hammer about that to close things out, man. But the Niners beat the Seahawks again. Nice little win for the 49ers last night. I'm not going to do your WTGF thing.
It's JWTDG. Come on now.
Whatever it is. But I was telling Kyle and James a few minutes ago, I was watching that game play out, and I just kind of was like shaking my head like, man, I don't know what the positives are in this. Cause they're kicking field goals still. It feels like they're leaving plays out there. You know, maybe their defense isn't, they blew a double digit lead, and then it kind of just washed over me. Like, you know, it's a Thursday against a division opponent. It doesn't really matter. They got the win. They've got the Kansas City Chiefs coming up next. All you got to do on Thursday, you don't get style points in the NFL, whether it's on a Thursday, a Monday, or a Sunday. You needed to go out there and get a victory. And that's exactly what they did.
So, I mean, eventually you came around to where I'm at. I'll even go a step further. That was a phenomenal win last night. That was a great win last night. And I'll tell you one thing. I know that you know. You've been around the game. You've been around the intricacies of the game. You've been around coaches, right? You know what I mean? So this is what and I don't mean to sound condescending or disrespectful to others out there, but I just got to say it how it is. Sometimes it's not as black and white as whether you won by 40 or it was a close game. Sometimes it's not that. Last night was not that. I thought the 49ers showed grit. I thought they showed a level of toughness that, yes, it helped that they won the game. But I was extremely proud and reassured watching this team last night. That game last night, you had one of the worst losses that you've had in the last 5 years with Kyle Shanahan, 3-4 days ago. You got to get on a flight. You got to go to Seattle, a team that's looking to put you away. They're looking to put you. If I was a Seattle Seahawks fan, I was like, let's put these guys away. They're on the ropes right now. We can put them away. We talked about yesterday. There's still a lot of football left, but that will be the thought process. We're in first place. If we're Seattle, we can put these guys away. They're looking to do that. You're going into a place that's been a problem for you for a long time, and actually in recent memory, it's actually not been much of a problem. But still, yeah, those ghosts are still there. And you go out, and you just play a gritty, tough game. And not only do you do that, but you execute. The 49ers statistically dominated that game. Absolutely dominated that game. But here's the other caveat. Here's where the win gets a little better and shows you a little bit more. You had adversity. You had ghosts that had to show up last night because you were dominating that game. And then all of a sudden, here we go. Here we go. A kick return for a touchdown. It's a 10-point game or a 13-point game. Then a score. Then the offense stalls out. And then all of a sudden, it's a 6-point game. And the ghosts have arrived, and you look those ghosts in the face, and not only did you execute on the offensive end, but the defensive end, you made plays. Those are two things that we asked in two of those losses. Defense, make a play. I need you to make a play. And you made the play you need to. I thought last night to win was phenomenal, and it doesn't matter if the team came back. It doesn't matter. Like sometimes you gotta look at the marathon that you're on right now. And this is how sports go sometimes. Like, you're not going to blow, more times than not, you're not going to blow 2 10-point leads and then just win a bunch of games by 13. I promise you, you're going to have to look at, we're up 10 in the fourth quarter, and here comes this team making a charge, and you're going to have to answer those demons. They answered them last night. Not everything is fixed for the rest of the season, but last night they stood in the belly of the beast. They went to face-to-face with some of those demons they had, and they knocked him out. I thought it was a great win.
Okay. A couple things. No such thing as a bad win. Two, I want to dive in a little bit further into something you said a second ago. Kyle Shanahan is actually talking right now and want to make sure we relay this stuff. Amazingly, Ricky Pearsall's practice window is going to be open this week. So that is tremendous news for the San Francisco 49ers. First round draft pick. Christian McCaffrey's is not. That's probably a deeper discussion that we can have shortly when Kyle Mattson joins us. I want to make sure I heard what you said correctly, and you could correct anything I missed or have wrong. You said the 49ers dominated that game, or the 49ers, I'm sorry?
They dominated that game.
In what way?
Statistically, at the very least. I mean, when they had the ball on offense.
What statistic? Like, I don't feel like they did.
I was listening to Kyle yesterday on overtime. I don't know if it's for the whole game. I got to pull the computer up in a second. But for at least 3.5 quarters, they were averaging 7.6 point yards per play. They were dominating that game. Defensively, Geno did nothing.
That's the distinction I'm trying to make, is dominated versus we're dominating. Because that game turned.
It turned. Oh, my bad. Go ahead.
It doesn't matter. Like, there's a story of a game. The story of the – it doesn't matter. Like, the outcome is the San Francisco 49ers won, and there's – there at no minute in this four-hour show am I going to diminish that the San Francisco 49ers won. I think what's clear, though, to start this show is you and I feel a little bit differently about the way that the game progressed. As I was watching that game, I didn't feel great. I was happy that they were winning. I felt like they were in control of that game. When Geno had the ball late with a chance to go up, I still felt really good about where the San Francisco 49ers were, despite what had happened to them the week prior. But I still just kind of watched that game like, gosh, this like, well, if I'm trying to take this game and look forward, I can't do it. Like, I don't want to do it because I don't think there's a lot here to go like, all right, here we go. It was more like, okay, who cares? Got to win. Top of the division. Survived a Thursday against the divisional opponent on the road. And now you're headed in to take on the Kansas City Chiefs.
So one of the things that happens is we are I don't want to say prisoner, but maybe we are prisoner of the two other losses. If the Niners hadn't blown two 10-point fourth quarter leads, I don't think we'd be feeling this way about what we saw yesterday. We'd be looking at that as it's a division game that happens. Teams come back, yada, yada, yada. Like, the part of the story
is that. That's exactly how I'm looking at it, for the record. That's exactly how I'm looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
Stretching it out to have a conversation about the 49ers season, mm-hmm. that's where the other two games come into play.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Because you're 100% right. Those don't happen.
And look,
last night, whatever.
Look, I was stressed. Ask my mom, ask my wife, ask the kids. I was stressed.
I don't need to. I know how you are.
When I got to, what was it, 23-17 or so? Oh, don't talk to me. Matter of fact, talk to me if you want to. I'm not paying attention to you, and I don't have anything nice to say. I was stressed. I wasn't going to act like I was this big ball of confidence the entire time. But out of the emotion of it and sitting back looking at that game, there was two drives where Seattle – did something. They scored. They got a kick return. They got that. They got a stop. I don't think they scored after that. They might have. There was two drives in that game where Seattle really did something.
But to the kick return thing, though, it's another one of those things. Again, when we're taking the view away from winning a Thursday night game against a divisional opponent and we're looking at the season, isn't the kick return something you look at and you go, oh, man, they struggled. Their special teams is really kind of getting them bit a couple of times this year.
Yeah, no, they didn't play a perfect game. There's a difference between dominating and playing a perfect game. They didn't play a perfect game, but they dominated the game. They were clearly better the entire night. Off the top of my head, there was one drive that Geno made that it was like, oh, man, they moving the ball. Like, they're about to score. Everything else, no. Not, and then on the defensive end, the Niners were moving the ball they wanted to. What they didn't was early on, at the very least, they had the same issues in the red zone. I think they finished 3 of 5 in the red zone. Like, they dominated that game. And it's not much different than the other two losses. The only difference is, in this game, they made a play that they needed to make, whether it was the run by Garrido, the pick by Amanda Green, the rookie. They didn't make that play against the Rams. They didn't make that play against the Cardinals. You look at both of those two games, and that's what I've been talking about most of the time. They've been in control of most of these games this year. They've played well most of the time. They just haven't played complete. They haven't finished games out. And that was the difference last night. They finished the game out. They did everything that they needed to do to win that game.
Okay. Well, I guess my eye isn't trained enough.
I didn't think
that was dominating.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it's stuff like this. Like, Casey, you got to zoom out. Niners have struggled with special teams all year. They still can't convert 6 in the red zone consistently. They were 3 of 5 yesterday. Stop talking, not you, but just stop talking and just saying anything. They were 3 of 5 in the red zone yesterday. What are you guys talking about? You're just saying anything. And I'm not saying it's a perfect situation, but you look at last night, you can't say they still can't convert in the red zone. They were 3 of 5 in the red zone last night.
What about just outside the red zone to try? No, I'm being serious. I'm not trying,
they dominate in between the 20s. That has not been a problem all year. They moved the ball between the 20s.
I also think it was Trent Williams who said post game that he wasn't really happy with the way that the game started because they kept settling for field goals. So mm-hmm. I think that's what Toxic 916 there in the chatty house might be referring to. Let's get Kyle's opinion on it. Kyle Mattson from the Insiders, NinersWire.com. You mentioned overtime on 95.7. He covers all things 49ers. He'll be with us next when D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Me being turned all the way up didn't end during the break.
Everybody out during the commercial break.
I just need, as we got our guy from the Insiders and Niners Wire, Kyle Mattson, joining us here like he does every Friday. I just need everybody to be, this is actually what I need. This is probably what I need. And this has always been
in a good mood because your team won.
Well, this is what I need though. And this has always been my problem because like I said, I'm a student of sports talk and listening to people talk or whatever. I just need critical thinking skills to come into play. And Kyle said something during the break that I agree with. Not everything is black and white. If I say that the Niners played well last night and executed things that they've struggled on a lot during the season, that doesn't mean everything is fixed forever. That means mm-hmm. last night, the things that they had issues with, they were taking care of business. That doesn't mean the red zone. Last night in the red zone, they were lights out in the red zone. They were lights out. They scored, I think I have this correct, they scored every time in the red zone. They scored 3 touchdowns in the red zone. They handle business. Would you have liked them to go 6 for 6 with touchdowns in the red zone? Absolutely. Does that happen every week to every team? No. No, it doesn't. 3 out of 5 touchdowns in the red zone is pretty damn good. That's a good red zone performance.
Yeah, 60% is good.
But they're still struggling in the red zone. All right, man. All right. Okay.
Well, there's just two ways to look at it, man. Did the 49ers fix everything last night and all of a sudden it's like, yeah, they're going to go win a Super Bowl? Like, no, definitely not. For sure, no. The red zone over the course of a 6-game sample this year, the larger 6-game sample is a problem. That I still have questions about their defense, for sure. But at the same time, they did all of the things in Seattle that they didn't do against the Rams in terms of closing games. They did all the things they didn't do against the Cardinals. It was a short week. They're super banged up. Granted, the Seahawks are banged up too. It's football. They're short week. They're banged up. They were on the road. It's a division game that they needed to have, and they went and got it. Like that's the crux of it. And if you're gonna if you hate the 49ers and you want to be like, yeah, well, that doesn't matter. Okay, fine, whatever, cool. If that's how you're going to view it, if everything is viewed through the lens of, okay, but what about in week 18? Okay, you go live in week 18. We're going to hang out here in week 6 and we're going to discuss this game that just happened. And then when you want to spin it forward and go, okay, hey, are you betting $1,000 that they're going to go to the Super Bowl? Like, no, for sure not. But 3 of 5 last night in the red zone, that's a good percentage. They got defensive stops and they needed it. That's good. They came up with a big special teams play with Mitch Wishnowsky pinning them deep. Okay, great. The consternation over that win last night is wild to me.
It's crazy.
I'm on a different show than you guys are. I don't even know what show you two got. I don't know what I'm saying. Let me be clear for those who don't know this. You've already done, you, Kyle Mattson, you've done 2 shows surrounding the San Francisco 49ers, one kind of in the belly of the beast. So maybe you're getting a different reaction. All I've got is 21 minutes, and I set up the conversation with in the crux of the week, like, I'll take it. Like, mm-hmm. that you take it, you don't feel bad about it. Like, can you pick it apart? And when you look at like the overview projection, you're like, yeah, you want a few things to get better over the course of the next few weeks. You want things to get a bit better over the course of the next 10 days for sure. But you make no apologies about winning a game any day of the week. You make no apologies certainly about winning a game on a short week against a division opponent on the road. You guys seem to be hearing something else that I'm just not privy to.
Well, we got a bunch of calls last night on postgame at 95.7 about people who were just unhappy with this and the red zone that, and it was like
sports fans by nature are panicky,
and that's why we tell them to settle down. That's what we're doing.
Right. Yeah, and I wouldn't.
You yelling at everybody ain't gonna settle them down.
I wouldn't go as far as to say, like, man, that was a dominant victory. A dominant victory would have been they go up 23-3. They don't give up a touchdown on a kick return. They get a stop. They go down and score again and really just, like, put the game away. But honestly, like, let's be realistic. In week five, they blew a 10-point fourth quarter lead to the Arizona Cardinals at home. And then 4 days later had to go play another football game.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't going to turn their entire season around. They weren't going to cure every single thing that ailed them in 4 days. Especially with no practice Monday and walkthroughs Tuesday and Wednesday. That was never going to happen. So I'm looking at this as, okay, you just need it. JWTDG.
Mm-hmm. There you go. There you go. You're on it.
It was one of those for sure. But no, there were good signs. Like they went three for five in the red zone. Hey, pretty good. 3 for 3 after going over 2 to start the game. Okay. I think there's a lot of built up angst from the 49er fan side of this. Mm-hmm. And again, I've seen it, I've heard it, I've seen it on this show in the Chatty House. I heard it all last night on 95.7. I've seen it in my Twitter mentions, because they reached that point. They gave up the touchdown to make it a however many point game, 23-10.
17, I think. Oh.
So 23-10. They punt, give up another touchdown, 23-17, punt again, and it's like, here we go again. It's going to happen again. But then it didn't. The thing that kept happening didn't happen again. That's a good thing. That is objectively moving the right direction. Now, is 3-3 good for this team? Absolutely not. Are they playing like a championship level team? Absolutely not. But 3-3 in the context of, it could have been 2-4 with 0-4 in the conference, 0-3 in the division. Game against the Chiefs coming up. You're still banged up. Christian McCaffrey's practice window is not going to be open. All that jazz. Like, you will take the 3-3 100 times out of 100. There were so many good things that you can pull out of that game last night that were not good things 4 days ago. And that's where I keep harping on this too. They have a losing record in October under Kyle Shanahan. Any victory you can get in October is huge, especially when you're just trying to stay afloat. This isn't about, to me, the one seed and a Super Bowl. Like, no, man, they just got to make the playoffs first. They got to put themselves in position to do that. And hopefully you can play good enough football into January that you can make a little run. But I don't know, man.
The one of the things that I think happens a lot when you hear people talk about the game, that once again, not trying to be condescending or anything like that, but when you've been in locker rooms, and not just professional locker rooms, like high school, college, as a player, as a coach, there's a certain mindset you have. Some of it is delusional. Some of it is understanding what's going on. And Kyle Shanahan, I guarantee you, Kyle Shanahan is not looking at last night as, we're back, or, you know, we ailed all our problems. But if you look at the video from him in that locker room, he's happy as hell. And that's how you handle it. You look at those guys, be like, man, rookies, you guys stepped up. You guys, this was a tough, tough situation. Y'all stepped in and made some plays. Brock, you were phenomenal. Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, you were phenomenal. Da-da-da. You say all that stuff. You acknowledge that stuff because you understand how tough of a situation that was. How far back up against the wall your back was in that situation last night. You acknowledge that stuff because that was tough. That was a tough situation to come out of a victory with. And then you come here into his office Friday morning, and you look at the tape, and you take your notes, and you say, ah, all right, this is where we got to get a little better. This is where we didn't really take care of business. Yeah, we were 3 of 5 in the red zone on touchdowns, but let me look at these 2 times we didn't score, what we can do better, because we got to improve on that. Mm-hmm. And that's what you do. You don't say everything is done and, oh, we're great now. You lead with the excitement of taking care of business and the acknowledgement of taking care of business and being happy about that. And then you come back throughout the week when you're working on the game plan, where you're trying to get things done. And now you say, all right, guys, we won. We took care of business. But now we got to be better here. We got to be better here. And that's how it goes. Kyle Shanahan was not – they were looking – man, Kyle Shanahan – walked in that locker room last night and said, man, a special team sucks. Special team sucks. I don't want to hear nothing about this win. Special team sucks. They'd be like, man, what are you talking about? Like, we just played our asses off and gave you everything out there. And then you sitting up here talking about the negatives. That's not how things work. And I think that's one of the reasons why Kyle Shanahan, Andy Reid, those guys, or whatever the case may be, because they can balance and understand the situation of games and understand when they need a swift kick in the ass and when they need a pat on the back. And that's how things go. And that's what I don't think a lot of people who just watch the game tend to understand and tend to do.
Can I read too far?
I don't know what we're doing anymore, so I'm just going to sit here and let you guys do this because I'm so confused.
You want to talk about
like are we talking about this game from a coach's perspective, from a media perspective, from a fan's perspective? I don't even know what we're doing.
So look, here's the thing. But so this is what didn't happen. Kyle lived it last night. I was listening to overtime. I heard people talk. I heard Kyle having to talk to people. Like Kyle was ready.
No one's trying to be Coach Shanahan here. Like that's the voice of frustrated fans talking about how they feel about the game last night. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, but
your job might have to be to quell the panic a little bit, which Kyle has aptly named have to work overtime to do. Like, hey, look, just trust people. Hey, it's a Thursday night. It's a divisional opponent. Things have gone bad. Hey, they got to win. They've got 10 days to get ready for the Chiefs. But this perspective of what Kyle does, like, I'm just confused. Y'all are mad. I don't know what to do. I thought it was I'm going to go find some pimp.
Ah, he's gone.
I don't know. This discourse has just been I didn't expect this at all.
That's a good win. It's a good win.
Yeah,
Nick Bosa was awesome. George Odom came in, the fourth string safety, had to come in and had a couple of pass breakups, one in the end zone. I thought he played really well. Devondre Campbell stinks. But I thought for the most part they were D'Amador Lenore was really good.
Bro, he hold that. He really is not very good.
It is
kind of glaring.
Bro, he's so slow. And their defensive rules are such that the Seahawks kept splitting out their running back wide, and Devondre Campbell would go with him. And it's like they never took advantage of it.
Yeah, I was scared. Oh, man.
But it's like, if that's your defensive rule, why is he out there? I don't quite understand that. But again, keeping this in the scope of it was a good win. I thought Brock Purdy was good last night. Another big Debo game against the Seahawks. George Kittle, they found their way in the red zone. Jordan Mason getting hurt stinks, but Isaac Garendo finally hitting that run. You want to know how big that Isaac Garendo run was? Did you see the Kyle Shanahan reaction? Kyle Shanahan never reacts to anything. Kyle Shanahan has his play sheet. I did this last night on overtime, so if you were watching that, sorry, I'm going to do this again. He's got his play sheet, watches the play. He might do this. He might give you the little fist pump, but then it's back in the play sheet. He's got another play to call. Yeah. He, like, hands up, doing the, like, flexing and yelling. He never does that. Like, you thought the tension among, like, the fan base was bad at a 6-point game? Imagine on that sideline and then in that locker room. I think, again, maybe I'm reading too much into this, but I think there's an intangible element of that win last night that matters a lot. They galvanized in a spot that they had collapsed twice already this year. And they figured out a way to make the plays in special teams, on defense, on offense, to close out a win. I think that mattered a ton in their locker room.
I think the perfect thing to go back and listen to is Trent after the game, which I think was I flipped over to Sports Center pretty quickly, so I don't know if it was on Sports Center or Amazon, but he was like, "We've got to do better. We've got to do better in the first half. We got to score touchdowns. Like we left too many points out there. I love what we did in the second half. There's a lot to take away from this game, but it's a Thursday win. This is a brutal place to play." He said all of the things that you would think a veteran Hall of Famer leader on a team would say. I think that's the perfect player perspective of this game. Everybody's thrilled that they won. They're going to be happy that they got the, I think Debo said it to SVP. We got the weekend off. We got a bonus practice on Monday, and we're going to get ready for Kansas City. Mm-hmm. They're all going to go into the weekend feeling really good about where they are.
Yeah.
They'll deal with everything that they did wrong on Monday.
Right. And so, D'Lo, just for reference to understand like where this is coming from, what Trent said is 100% right. What your mindset is 100% right. Kyle will tell you, people were leading with everything they did wrong first, last night and this morning, and that's where this comes from. And I understand that's just fans or whatever the case may be. But I didn't come in here talking about everything they did wrong. I'm talking, and next, so everything's fixed now? No, nobody ever said that.
What are we going to have to, Matt Nahig in the chat here? We're going to have to shut this thing down?
No, but you didn't know where it came from. It wasn't going to be explained. You didn't know where it came from. I'm explaining where it came from. But, like, that's that last night, Matt Nahig in the chat. Come on, go
shut the chat down. Come on, man. Drew down like a 1320 chat. Oh, we lost Kyle.
No, there we go. I had to fix my microphone and forgot to unmute. That is my boss sometimes, part of the time. You watch it.
I love Matt. No. Matt's my guy.
But no.
Anytime we shut something down, we got to call it. We got a Matt Nahig.
I've got Kenny distracted by the chat. I think we should shut it down. Are we talking Niners or are we talking Chad?
I've never talked to Matt. Is that what he sounds like?
Guys, it's an over-exaggerated, but everybody who's ever worked for Nahigian has a Nahigian impression.
I love it.
And once again, shout out to Matt. Go Blue. You know what it is, man. That's my guy. You know what I mean? Go Blue.
All the more reason to make fun of him.
But that win last night, that was a tough win in a tough situation. And I didn't go into that game thinking I would learn anything about this team. But I came out of that game, I learned a lot. I learned a lot. I learned, they showed me a level of toughness. Kyle, you might remember this. Maybe you, I don't know if you had the same feeling or not about this team, but the 2013 team, they were at the end of the Harbaugh run. I think they were a little worn down. They had been they had three straight years, and it was just, they were kind of leaking oil a little bit. But, man, they were tough as hell. And their toughness got them. I remember specifically after they lost to Carolina and then they lost to the Saints. And it was like,
the Ahmad Brooks penalty.
Yeah, and it was looking bleak. And they, man, it's hard to explain. There was just a level of toughness to that team to close out that season and put them on the brink of getting back to the Super Bowl that I always loved. I always loved. They weren't super talented. They weren't dynamic. But Anquan Boldin, that defense, Bowman, Willis, all those, they were just so mentally tough and physically tough that I loved that about that team. And I feel like I saw a lot of that last night from this 49ers team, being in that situation and handling what they did. And then you look at their two leaders. We haven't even talked about them. Fred Warner and Nick Bosa, when the chips were down, showed up like you want your best players to show up and said, you know what, guys, this ain't happening, not right now. We may not be a Super Bowl team. We may not be, you know, what we hope to be, but it's not happening right now. And it showed me a lot last night. It did show me a lot.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, and I want to get to that specifically. But also just on that 2013 team, that little playoff run they went on, they beat the Packers, they beat Carolina, and then they went to Seattle. That game in Seattle, that NFC title game, was the last good football game. That's my working theory.
That was one of the greatest football games ever.
That was the last great football game we're ever going to get.
Mm.
And I think every other game now is going to be marred by a weird penalty or some weird rule, or that was the last great football game.
Or not being subscribed to Prime Video. Maybe that might be an issue as well.
Oh, boy. I thought last night, as they were in the midst of collapsing, I was sitting there going, maybe TC's right. 916-909-1320. That's the Elk Grove Kia talk line. TC, if you want to call in. I was like, maybe TC's right. Maybe they've just suffered too many bad losses at the end of seasons, and maybe they just don't have it anymore. You heard about the Eagles last year. There was that big expose in ESPN where they talked about how they were 10-1, but everybody's miserable because they had just lost the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And I was like, maybe that's just the Niners this year. Maybe they're super talented, but everybody's miserable because they lost another Super Bowl, and they're just going to get in these late games. They're just not going to execute, and it's going to become a self-fulfilling prophecy. Maybe they're just cooked. Maybe that's what this is. And as that third quarter is going along, and it's okay, 23-3, oh, immediately 23-10. Oh, there's a stop. Oh, 23-17. It's like, oh my God, that's what's happening. The fact that it didn't happen, I'm with you, Casey. That I learned a lot about the 49ers just from a mental toughness standpoint that I was really starting to doubt. Now, are they going to go to the playoffs and suddenly fix their red zone stuff and all that? I don't know. I couldn't tell you. Mm-hmm. But as for week six, where we stand on Friday, October 11th, I feel like I learned a lot about the 49ers, and I feel better about them today than I did at this time yesterday.
I know after watching how they performed, they won't check out of this season. Like, they won't check it. It won't be too much, and they'll just kind of wither. Like, they're going to fight. They're going to fight. Mm-hmm. Like you just said, I don't know what that leads to. They might not even make the playoffs. They might not win a division. I don't know what that leads to, but they're going to fight. There's a level of fight that I saw from that team last night.
Yep.
We saw one of the better run games from the 49ers mm-hmm. this year, maybe even in recent years. Without Christian McCaffrey out there, a couple of different questions regarding the run game. First, Kyle Shanahan spoke just moments ago. I think you got the opportunity to tap into that. I know he confirmed that Jordan Mason did, in fact, have an AC joint sprain?
Mm-hmm.
Question mark. Do we have a timeline for that? Is he day-to-day?
Yeah, he said he's day-to-day.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
More importantly, Christian McCaffrey's practice window is not being opened up this week. It was at least in passing mentioned on the broadcast last night, but is the reality of Christian McCaffrey not playing this season starting to become, well, a little bit more of a reality?
For me personally, it's been there. I've said anything they get from Christian McCaffrey this year is a bonus for me.
Hmm.
But the way they've been running Jordan Mason makes me think they're super confident that he's going to come back. Albert Breer reported yesterday that he hasn't had any setbacks and he's starting to feel more like himself. The timeline I'm circling is after the bye week. Mm-hmm. Kyle Shanahan said something interesting in his conference call last week. He said that he was talking about the injury stuff, and he goes, "We expect to have a lot of people coming back after the bye." Mm-hmm. And that gives McCaffrey, this week, 3 weeks, basically four weeks, a month, the rest of October to get right and get healthy. And if he's already ramping up his rehab, that to me is where I'll start. And if all of a sudden we get into week 10, week 11, and they're still not opening his practice window, then I would be really like, oh, okay, he might be done. Mm-hmm. But right now, I think they've circled the bye week as the, okay, we'll get there. We'll evaluate him then. See where we're at as a team, and then we'll sit down with McCaffrey and the team doctors and figure out whether he should come back now or in 2 weeks, and put together like a definitive timeline at that point.
Yeah, I'm with you, Kyle. I don't want to say there's no way I would bring him back before the bye, because you don't know. I don't, even a loss to the Chiefs, I don't think I'd panic and try to get him out there against the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. But you never say never. But yeah, I wouldn't anticipate, if I was those guys, even thinking about bringing them back before the bye. You know, it's I don't want to say there's no reason to, but like, you're already 2 weeks away from the bye, and why ramp up the situation that much just to have another week where there's nothing going on when you can just use that as recovery time? So if he does come back, I would circle after the bye like you did.
Yeah. That's where I'm at.
Overall, a good win.
Yeah, really good win. You take that. Now they got to figure out how to beat the Chiefs.
They got, you know, one of the biggest, the biggest thing with the Chiefs, obviously, it's always Pat Mahomes, and you gotta worry about that. But man, they gotta solve that defense. You know, that defense gave them. I thought that was the biggest problem in the Super Bowl, and they're gonna have to. Kyle's gonna have to scheme some stuff up. Brock's gonna have to see some stuff. They're gonna have to find a way to shake loose and execute offensively against that Chiefs defense.
Well, and they're gonna have to do it without one of their biggest playmakers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. If we were doing this show, it's so funny. We're talking about the Niners and all this 3-3 and they're good or they're bad and good win, bad win, whatever. If we were ESPN 1320 Kansas City, the Chiefs are 5-0 and we would be sitting here going, well, but how did they get to 5-0? They haven't figured out the offense yet. They have to figure out, oh, Mahomes just hasn't been good this year. Da da da. Be crazy.
Yeah. Get the that happens too. And it's not even wrong. Like they haven't played that well. I thought their defense has played like the best in football. But offense, they're still struggling. They're still trying to figure some things out. So they're coming off the bye. Whatever they are struggling with, maybe I know they're working on during this bye. So they'll be ready.
Kyle Madsen, the insiders, NinersWire.com. And he does great work in San Francisco as well, covering the San Francisco 49ers. Kyle, we appreciate you as always. We'll come back. It wasn't the only tense game that was going on last night. My goodness, one of the great games we've ever seen to kick off the 2024 WNBA Finals. We'll talk about that, plus more about what I thought was a pretty impressive game from Brock Purdy. As D'Lo and KC continue here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and KC back on your airwaves, a.k.a. the angriest show in America, or at least one of us.
Half angry. I'm chilling. One of us. Mad as hell today. I'm like, man.
We're on edge. This is how it was on Monday. I think everybody, and it's shout out to them, you know, respectfully, they left me alone on Monday because I told them off the rip. I said, I'm on edge. I don't know what's going to set me off. I may ignore some stuff. I may not ignore anything.
Well, I wasn't there to have everybody's back on Monday, so they knew they better. You know what? We're just going to chill.
But the thing about it is, they didn't think they'd have to do that today. The Niners won. They didn't think that had to be the case. But no, I'm still on edge. I think I got it out of my system now. I don't think I'm on edge anymore.
It's a win on a Thursday against a divisional opponent, and you want to take steps towards being better. And you've got a great quarterback doing great things that we'll talk more about here in just a couple of minutes. I think Brock Purdy is just quietly. It's not showing up in the win-loss column the way that you want it to. Brock Purdy's having a really, really good season. We'll talk more about that in a minute. But there was an epic WNBA Finals game last night between Minnesota and New York in the Big Apple. It was phenomenal. We were robbed of a play that probably would have lived in WNBA lore forever. It was a wild final 12 something seconds or whatever it was. Courtney Williams hits that 4-point play, makes the free throw, gives Minnesota a 1-point lead after coming back from 15 points down. A couple of plays on the sidelines, they probably missed a call, called it out on the wrong team. No reviews. One final play under the basket. They call a foul on Stewie. Stewie hits the first one to tie the game, misses the second one. Lynx can't get a shot off to win the game with about a second and some change left. Game goes to overtime. Minnesota winds up winning game one in just absolutely dramatic fashion. Had Spike Lee befuddled, left that crowd quiet. What a start to the WNBA Finals, man. That was incredible.
Man, the crazy thing about it is I missed it all, man. I obviously, you know me, I'm tapped in, locked in with these Niners for this game, but I was following along on Twitter about everything that was happening, seeing an eclipse and seeing Stewie miss the free throw and the 4-point, all of it. And then to see that Minnesota was able to come away with that win, I said, I got to go back and watch it. I didn't get a chance to watch it last night, but I'm going to go back and watch that game before game two, because all the clips, all the highlights that I've seen, like you just mentioned, it looked like one of the greatest finals games, period, WNBA or NBA, that basketball has ever seen, man. So the Lynx, you've been on it. You've been on it. You've been saying the Lynx, watch out for them. Watch out for them. They absolutely can win this NBA Finals. And they got a big win last night, getting one in New York. And they're going to be, I think they're going to be thirsty. They're going to be thirsty. They're going to try and get two. And you got to wonder, if New York is a little
shell shocked. That's a pretty tough take right there.
What?
That's a pretty tough take that Minnesota's going to go try to win game two. That's fire right there.
Well,
my man is cooking. No, not that one. Where's my sound? My man cooking in there.
Well, look, it's one of those things. You see teams all the time in those situations. Our objective was to get one. It was to get one. We got that one. Now we're going back home.
Yeah, they usually say that after they lose the other one.
Right. But it's a real mentality. Like, it's a real, like, you ease off the gas a little bit getting that one. Or it's not even like going into the game. It's like if New York in game two goes up 14 in the second quarter, you're like, oh, okay, well, you know, all right. You knew they were going to come out ready to play, so we got our one. I don't think that's how.
Yeah, that's not Cheryl Reeves.
Yeah, they don't come out regardless of how that game starts or whatever, trying to stay on the gas. I think New York now, I think they'll win game two. But there is a concern of being a little shell-shocked by losing that game. And I don't think they'll fall into it, but it's something that I think you got to be alert for.
So here's what I'll say about that. And then, you know, the idea, you know, because my first thought was, and we talked about this after the Aces win, like I'm a little concerned that there could be an emotional letdown for the Liberty. Like, that Aces win meant so much to them. They had been the best two teams in the league for the last 2 years, hands down. And you saw the emotional reaction from some of the players. You saw the really, really emotional reaction from some of their families, particularly Breonna Stewart. It's like, be on the lookout for that. That's not what we saw yesterday. Mm-hmm. That's a team that had an 18 I think it was 18 point lead. It was somewhere between 16, 17, 18, somewhere around there.
It looked like they were on a mission.
But they looked like the best team in basketball until the Lynx took it away. These are teams that match the Liberty were the best team in the league all year. That's not in question. The record shows it. There was one team that seemed to frustrate them throughout the year. That was the Minnesota Lynx. That's a team that just matches up really, really well with them. They are not afraid of them. They've got scores in the same way that they do. Nafisa Caller has emerged as one of the best players in the entire league. She's in the conversation with Asia and Stewie and the big dogs in the league. Mm-hmm. And you've got people like Kayla McBride. We saw with Courtney Williams. Like, those are dogs that they'll fight Sabrina, like, figuratively. They'll fight Sabrina. They'll fight Breonna Stewart. They'll fight Courtney Vandersloot. The list of all-stars that they got over there on that squad. They'll go toe-to-toe with them. And you've got a coach that is absolutely afraid of nothing and has won title upon title upon title upon title. And that is what I think makes for the most difficult matchup for the New York Liberty. So the shell shock thing after game one, the emotional letdown after the Aces game, not happening with New York. Mm-hmm. Those are all gone. It's clear there was no emotional letdown after the Aces win. They were ready. They got beat by a team that can compete with them. I don't think they're going to be shell shocked after going down 18 or after going up 18, excuse me, and then blowing that lead in really dramatic fashion. I think they'll be ready to play. I think what this boils down to is the Lynx are a brutal matchup for the Liberty. Mm-hmm. Can they beat them two more times? That's all this is. All of the extra emotional stuff, that's out. That's gone. It's just, can they beat them two more times? Because the Liberty, you talked about dominating with the foot. The Liberty beat their ass mm-hmm. for almost that entire game. until they didn't. And man, what a tremendous closeout from Minnesota. Courtney Williams, one of the greatest plays. If the Lynx pull this off, that Courtney Williams play will be played forever.
That was crazy.
It will be, you know, it'll be one of the biggest shots, one of the biggest moments, in one of the biggest years in the history of this league.
That was a crazy shot.
Absolutely.
And I saw it after the fact, you know what I mean? Because I wasn't watching it live, and I already knew what had happened, but I didn't know how we got there. And, you know, to get the offensive rebound, kick it back out, have the wherewithal to get that shot up, I said that was insane to see. I'm with you, though. I don't think the Liberty will be shell-shocked. I think they'll be ready to go. If I'm in that locker room and, you know, I'm talking to my teammates and stuff like that, look, we let one slip away. We let one slip away, but we were in a situation where we were handling business the way that we know how to. We got to get back, kind of simplify things, get back one possession at a time, handle your business, do your job on both ends of the floor, and we can absolutely recreate having that type of performance. But that's a frustrating loss. And because it is, and we'll talk about this, I guess, maybe now or in a second, but because it is a best of five, something like that is heightened. You know what I mean? Like, you lost the game. You're in danger now of this series never coming back to New York because of the game five.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's something that they're going to be kicking themselves until game two tips off. They play on Sunday, right? I think Sunday.
Yeah, unfortunately, they play on Sunday.